And if my colleagues are ready, I'll call the next case of Mr. Murugan versus the United States Attorney General.
May it please the court, my name is Viswanathan Rudrakumaran. I represent the petitioner in this case, Your Honor. At the outset, I would like to give the timeline of what's happening in Sri Lanka very briefly, Your Honor. In 2009, there was a war, terrible war, ended with a lot of problems, a lot of international crimes. Then there was 2015, a new regime came into power. So if you look at the immigration judge's decision and the BIA's decision, they are simply talking about there is no current persecution of Tamils. They emphasize the word current. So they were talking of the regime change that happened in 2015. But in 2019, again, the so-called bad guys, they came back to power. And there have been a lot of reports. And in fact, during the last summer in the Supreme Court, Your Honor, there was a case, Department of Homeland Security versus Thurasingam, was a case involving a Sri Lankan Tamil. But the case was whether Section 8 U.S.C. 1252 sets forth certain limitation, when a non-citizen can bring habeas petition, and whether that violates the suspension clause. That was the case. That was the issue in that Supreme Court case. But Justice Breyer, because in that case, a lot of American professors, they filed amicus brief about the Sri Lankan country condition. And Justice Breyer observed, now the petitioner, now the defendant in that case has come up with some new facts. So the proper course for the DHS have a new interview, taking into account the new evidence. In fact, in 2004, the Third Circuit in Berkshire versus Ashcroft, 378F.3D314, the Third Circuit suggested in these circumstances, the better course would be for the government to send the case back to the agency to take into account the new facts, because we are talking about stale facts, the facts which are not relevant. And unlike the Seventh Circuit, which take judicial notice of the new facts, the Third Circuit said that we cannot do it. The Congress doesn't allow us. Maybe the Congress can make changes, but the better course would be the government to send the case back to the agency to take the new facts into consideration. That's I would like to state at the outset. Secondly, the factual predicates of this case. There are three factual predicates. One is what happened to the petitioner in Sri Lanka. It's a personal experience. Number two, as a returned asylum seeker. Number three, as a Tamil. There are three factual predicates, Your Honor. I'll come towards the end that we had to take all in conjunction. The first question is about the past persecution. Our main argument with respect to past persecution is the government, the agency did not take into account the mental harm to which he was subjected. The government's response, no, they noted the fact, the whole record. The agency in fact said that they reviewed the medical documentation. So that means that they have taken the mental harm also into account. There are various medical reports were submitted. One is the x-rays, whether he had a fracture, the hospitalization. Then he went for three therapists for the mental harm. And the government's insinuated that they took it into account. But under the maxim of expresso unus est exclusio alteris, expression of one thing means exclusion of other thing. They talk about slapping, they talk about just hitting on his thigh, not a single word about the mental harm we suffer. So our main argument, you know, the BIA, the agency, either the BIA or the IJ did not take into account the mental harm in the analysis of the past persecution. The other issue is the main issue, the nexus issue. Our contention, Your Honor, the nexus issue should be analyzed in the context, in the historical context, in the political context. The agency did not do it at all. In fact, there are many cases of Sri Lankan cases, I think thousands of cases. And the BIA issued some precedent decisions on Sri Lankan cases. And I have cited the matter of SP, the seminal case, for which stands for the proposition of the nexus issue. The BIA said it's very difficult in the Sri Lankan case because the context, the political dimension of the conflict. But the BIA here in the instance case, they completely.
Counsel, let me ask you, we have a recent opinion, the Lingaswaran opinion, dealing with persecution of Tamils. How does that case affect yours?
Okay, the two things, Your Honor. First thing, Lingaswaran, this very same argument was raised, saying that the BIA, the agency, did not engage in context-sensitive analysis. Therefore, that was an error. However, the court said that the context-sensitive argument was not raised below, so you cannot raise now. But with all due respect to the panel of the Lingaswaran case, Your Honor, it was raised in the below also. But the court's rationale, the court said that argument, this context-sensitive argument, the political dimension of the argument was not raised below. Therefore, we cannot now entertain that one. So that distinguished here. Here they said, we understand there were some human rights violations, but they did not go into deep. They said, okay, Tamils having problems.
What about the fact that we found that a pattern or practice of persecuting Tamils does not exist in Sri Lanka?
You know, that's as I mentioned in my letter, reply to the 28-day letter of the government. These are all fact-specific issues. Here, this all depends on the particular record before Your Honor. You cannot simply make a grandiose statement. The court cannot make a political statement. There is no pattern or practice of persecution. The court can only make a statement based on the record before the court. So the fact the court made a decision in Lingaswaran case, no impact whatsoever. In fact, the Lingaswaran case also suffered from the same problem because the court was talking about, now we got a good governance, everything's hunky-dory. That's not the case. So, but my main argument, factual finding of one case have no precedential value for any other case. So that Lingaswaran case limited to that record. This case is limited to this record.
Can I ask you then a question about this record? Because on the question of political opinion, the nexus argument that you've been making, what about your client's testimony when I asked, did the army ever question you about whether you were involved in the movement? And he says, no, no, no. They were just suspecting that they were saying that I had contact with these people, that I had been in contact with these people. So that sounds like he is effectively denying that there's any nexus or any imputed political opinion.
No, he did not say that. He's denying political opinion, not imputed political opinion. He said, I don't have anything to do with the LTT. So he's denying, we are not arguing political opinion. We are arguing imputed political opinions. He said repeatedly, they suspect that I am connected to the LTT. So the agency said, no, this is just a mere speculation on his part. That's what the agency dismissed it. But had you taken the context-sensitive analysis, it is a reasonable inference. It is not a speculation. It is a reasonable inference had you taken the context into account. So my client said imputed political opinion. He did not say that. We are not arguing that political opinion. We are imputed political opinion, and it suffers. The analysis suffers because the agency did not take the context into account. It's a similar case.
Well, so I guess I would have... I guess I would have thought that the question circles around political opinion. That it, you know, did the army ever question you about whether you were involved in the movement? That sounds to me like, did the army impute to you political opinion? And he says, no, 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 just connection with the people.
Yeah, because the connection with two responses, Your Honor. The connection with the people, these people were under the control of the LTT. There were two governments were functioning. So these people were in the area controlled by the LTT. So then they thought, the army thought, these all people are all sharing the same view. If it's an innocent investigation by the government saying that there's no political factor, then why did they stop them? Why did the army say, you cannot go and give any aid to these refugees? Why? If it's just an innocent, if it's a political neutral act, Why did the army stop them, warn him? Because there's a political dimension there. Because these people, these people share the LTT views because they were living with the, under the control of the LTT. And when my client helps them, this, they attributed this view on my client also. So that's where I'm coming on, Your Honor. Then I go.
So just one last question. One last question, and then I'll be quiet. So yeah, you know, we have cases where from time to time we will remand for what we call lack of reasoned consideration, where we think that the agency, either the IJ or the BIA, sort of didn't consider all of the evidence. Have you made a reasoned consideration argument here? And if not, is it subsumed within some other argument that you've made?
I think it's subsuming the arguments saying, you know, specifically that the board failed to take the context sensitive analysis. So that's, it will be subsumed.
Okay.
And the third argument, I'll come the other one too late, on Gagsa Kumar as a returned asylum seeker. It was the precedent decision from this court, Your Honor, that a returned asylum seekers, if they are a Tamils, because the court was relying on a background material from a church. In that background material, it was stated, if you are a Tamil, you will be perceived as LTT. If you are a Sinhalese, you'll be perceived as a traitor. But the court, by a slight mistake in the Gagsa Kumar case, the court said, if you are a Sinhalese, then you will be perceived as a Tamil tiger. That is very, it's a contradictory, you know, that's not fact. But the BIA knows better. BIA should have known better. And BIA picking on that and saying, God, he's not a Sinhalese, so he cannot be perceived as an LTT person. Your Honor. So that's another major error in that one. And the third thing that the court asked, the government argued, how you can take all these things in conjunction. In Lingeswaran case, the court also said that the Lingeswaran did not submit any authority saying that these cases should be taken into, these facts should be taken into in conjunction. In Gagsa Kumar, the 11th Circuit took in conjunction his ethnicity, the status as a failed asylum seeker. This court took those two factors in conjunction. But I submitted some unpublished BIA opinion. The BIA repeatedly takes these two factors in conjunction. And in fact, there was a specific remark based on the government's motion to remand it to take these factors in conjunction. Before this court, the court agreed to that remand. So these factors should be taken into conjunction, which they did not, the agency did not take into account, Your Honor.
Right. You've saved some time for rebuttal, and we'll hear from you then. Ms. Green?
Thank you, Justice.
Your Honors, I'm Susan Green. I represent the acting attorney general in this case. And I have to apologize that I had the nightmare situation that in the middle of my opponent's argument, I lost sound. And so there's a little bit that I did not hear. So I apologize if I am a little bit out of the loop on that. But from what I did here, I would like to start out saying that the court has no warrant to disturb the agency's findings in this case. And that has become even more clear since this case was briefed, since this court has decided three similar cases in the interval between briefing and argument, including the Lingeswaran case that I did hear you all talking about. And my opponent says that, you know, each case has to be judged on its own facts. Of course, that's true, but the examining the Lingeswaran case and the record and our brief in this case shows that it was the same facts. Or if you look at
Ms. Green, this Beverly Martin,
yes, ma'am.
I want to talk. I mean, the record does seem like it's a mess. So the IJ says that Mr. Murugan's the evidence submitted it was outdated. And, you know, it says that the publication dates ranging from year 2014 to 2016, and that's the bait stamp 93. But then on bait stamp 84, it lists the exhibits, you know, up to exhibit 9, you know, which refers to materials submitted by Mr. Murugan in October of 2018 and November of 2018. And when I look at those, they're very much talking about the changes in Sri Lanka since 2016. That's all they're talking about. That the prime minister who had persecuted the Tamils, from 2005 to 2015, and then left power, is now back in power, and this is a dangerous thing for the Tamils. And on and on. There's several articles to that effect. So it looks like to me that the IJ didn't look at evidence that had been submitted to him.
Your Honor, I noticed the same issue, and I looked at that pretty closely. And first of all, what the IJ says is he says there was out-of-date evidence and nothing else was submitted that changed his opinion about that. But if you look at the board's decision, the board specifically did look at evidence and cited evidence. And I'm looking at page 4 of the administrative record, and it's a little difficult.
Can you give me the bait stamp number if you have it? Because I
I think that's page 4 of the administrative record. And it's at the bottom of that first paragraph is the evidence the part that I think is relevant. And it's a little difficult to translate the board's citations into the administrative record.
I know that's why I was asking for the bait stamp number.
You're asking me for what the numbers are. They're at the bottom of that first paragraph, what the bait stamp numbers are. I have those. I'd be glad to tell you. They're The things they're citing are at administrative record at 322.23, 377, 420, and those refer to things that happened in 2015.
And those numbers you just gave me are the bait stamp numbers?
Those are the numbers for the administrative record as a whole.
I understand.
Is that the
Do
same
you
thing
have
as
the bait stamp numbers?
I'm sorry that I'm not understanding what I think. The bait stamp is the number there at the bottom of the administrative record of
zero, 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 0009.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's the numbers I was reading. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, so
I went through and translated the numbers that the board cites. They just cite exhibit numbers, and I went through and translated
of the Board of Immigration Appeals. Has the citation, the Board of Immigration Appeals ruling and the appeal in this case, you're referring me to citations that the board is making?
Yes, ma'am. And what I was trying to do, I thought you were saying that you didn't know where to find, that the board cites to exhibit numbers.
Do they do that?
They do that, it's numbered as page 3 of their decision, but it's page 4. Bait stamp.
Okay. Can you just read to me what you're referring us to?
Okay. And so if you look at that that page of their decision, they're at the first full paragraph, the bottom line, they cite a number of exhibits that have more recent evidence. 2015, 2016, 2017 evidence. And I went through and
if the regime changed in 2018, citations to 2017 evidence doesn't help you much, does it?
Well, the thing,
particularly when that was in the record,
what was in the record was that there was a new prime minister, but not that anything bad had happened, just that there was an apprehension that something bad would happen. And so the agency really had no basis to conclude that the idea that a new prime minister might make something different happen, there was no evidence to substantiate that. There was really nothing concrete for them to base that on. And now, may I say
the prime minister who came back into power in 2018, these articles say his presidency was a reign of terror, especially for the minority Tamil community. This is a guy who's come back to power in 2018. Mr. Murugan has given these articles to the IJ, and neither the IJ nor the Board of Immigration Appeals appears to have read these. That's my question. I mean, and the answer to that, well, they refer to evidence from 2017 is not responsive to my question.
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is that there's no evidence that anything had happened yet. There was no concrete evidence
of
any change of condition.
That's your takeaway, right? I mean, there's nothing to show that the Board of Immigration Appeals or the IJ came to that conclusion, right?
They didn't
look at it. I mean, they didn't cite to it.
No, I don't think that you can conclude that they didn't look at it. I mean, the assumption is that they've read the record, and the board certainly has extensive citations to the record.
Well, except for when he say that there's no evidence in the record later than 2016 when it's right there. Data 2018.
Well, I mean, as I say, the board actually did cite to record evidence.
No, but when I ask you to tell me what it was that they cited to, you said they referred to evidence that was 2017 evidence, right?
And that was evidence in particular about the treatment of returned asylum seekers. Yes, ma'am.
I know, but it doesn't address the change in regimes in Sri Lanka, does it? I mean, if it does, I want to know. I can't say that they discussed
the new prime minister, but I also think that since there was no evidence of any actual change in policies, then I think that it explains why they were talking about concrete evidence of things that had happened rather than things that might be suspected to lead to something bad in the future.
His return to power has worried human rights groups who hold him responsible for alleged crimes committed by the military at the close of the country's 26-year-long civil war against Tamil separatists, and on. And none of that is acknowledged in either the IJ ruling or the BIA ruling, as far as I can tell. And I'm not hearing you tell me anything different.
Your Honor. I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't looked for that particular thing because I thought what we were concerned about was actual practices. So I don't want to say
evidence given to him in November, and he says, I don't have any evidence, later than 2016, then, you know, it seems to me pretty clear that he didn't consider evidence that had been presented to him.
Well, as I say, I think that the board,
they
address more recent evidence.
Up to 2017, right? I mean, you don't have any, you can't point me to anything where they considered evidence later than 2017.
I'm seeing 2017. Okay. And I could go, but as I say, there are many, many citations here, and I would have to go through and check that out to make sure that, because the board tends to have string sites with lots of evidence. I could certainly take that as homework and go through and check all those out and see if there are references to the 2018 evidence. I thought that what the court would be more interested in was actual evidence of things that had happened, of actual practices.
Well, actually, the evidence that was in the record. Can I ask you a question about Mr. Murugan's pattern or practice claim? It's another line from the immigration judge's ruling that doesn't make sense to me. The bulk of the country conditions evidence in the record discusses a pattern of human rights violations in general without sufficiently showing respondent is in danger of being persecuted on his return. And I mean, that's exactly what pattern and practice test evidence is, isn't it? An emphasis on human rights violations against a group in general, as opposed to against the individual.
I think, I mean, I'd have to see the exact place that you're talking about, but I think my recollection of that is that he was saying it was generalized evidence that there are human rights issues in the country rather than focusing on Tamils in particular, because there was evidence, for instance, the evidence about law enforcement practices, and it wasn't necessarily, that wasn't limited to Tamils, that was just evidence that they but needed to work on.
He says, he actually italicizes the word respondent. He says that the respondent hadn't shown that respondent is in danger of being persecuted, which is not, as I understand it, a part of the required showing for pattern and practice evidence.
No, pattern and practice, the relevant evidence would be about Tamils, but I think what he was saying is that there, but it generalized evidence that is
what makes of you all think the groups that? In the country. I mean, because that's sorry. Not what he says. It's okay, on page 12 of 17 in the IJ. I mean, I can read you the sentence again. Rather, the bulk of the country conditions evidence in the record discusses a pattern of human rights violations in general, that's italicized, comma, without sufficiently showing respondent, which is also italicized, is in danger of being persecuted upon his return.
Okay, well, I think what he's saying there is human rights violations in general, in other words, not focused on Tamils. Okay. That's the, how
and,
I understand
and that's it. What you think he means. I don't yes, think ma'am. That's what he says, but thank you.
Ms. Green, I mean, can I ask you just one question to clarify the discussion that you've been having with Judge Martin? I recognize that the Prime Minister has come back into power. Has Mr. Murugan provided any evidence that persecution has started back up? Any evidence of actual practices?
No, that's exactly what I was saying. And that's why I think that the board didn't spend time on that, is because there was the only evidence was entirely speculative that something bad might happen. Now, to the extent that Mr. Murugan's attorney today argues that that there's some conditions from 2019, of course, this court can only decide this case based on the administrative record. And I think Mr. Murugan was arguing today that he would like you to remand to take in for the board to take into account new evidence. But of course, there is a procedure for that. The procedure is not for you all to remand the existing order. The procedure is for him to move to reopen the case in the agency, and he certainly can do that. I mean, that's how you get new evidence.
Confirm for me, Ms. Green, that real quickly, Kevin, that you know this hearing was in November for Mr. Murugan, and the change in regime had happened in October, right?
I don't know what day the change in the prime minister happened.
But it's not a change in regime.
I mean, it's a change in who the prime minister was. It still had the same president.
But it was within a month of when Mr. Murugan's hearing was. Right.
If you're telling me that I'm sure you're correct. Well, I haven't compared the dates.
If you look at the exhibits in the record, that's what they say.
Okay.
All right.
So can I ask you a question? I know you're out of time, but I'm just trying to kind of nudge. So can you explain to me, there's a piece of there are two pieces of the IJ's decision that sort of give me the willies. One, there's a statement where the IJ says, the court finds respondent to be credible and to have sufficiently corroborated his claim. That's at administrative record 86.
Yes.
What claim did the IJ find sufficiently corroborated, given the fact that he rejected all of Murugan's claims?
I think what he means is that he accepted his testimony that he had been detained twice. And that he had been slapped and kicked and so forth. That's what he was talking about.
Okay, and then, so same question, in the portion of the IJ's decision that rejects the CAT claim, the IJ says, he cites Murugan's lack of credibility and corroborating evidence. So on the one hand, he's credible and has corroborated. On the other hand, he's not credible and hasn't corroborated.
Your Honor, and I agree that that statement in there is a mistake, but that is also not something that they raised. They haven't raised that as an issue to the board.
I guess it makes me worry about the process, that perhaps these IJ orders are just being copied and pasted from one case to another. I mean, is that sort of the plausible explanation for what happened here? What happened?
I don't know how it happened, but it is an error, and he should have raised that to the board. It could have been looked at in the agency. Things that are not raised to the board should not be before the court. If there are no further questions, I'm seriously out of time.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor, just one more slide, another information, Your Honor. What happened in 2018, that the old prime minister was appointed, then he was removed, then he won the election in 2019, in the meantime, in 2019, November, his brother became the president. So right. The present president is the brother of this, and both were accused of war crimes. And that's what Justice Breyer said in the Supreme Court decision, that should be go back because of the situation. The situation has changed a lot, John. The other thing I would like to argue, bring to the attention, that the immigration judge repeatedly used a wrong standard. He was saying even the return asylum seeker, the evidence is not compelling. That's not the standard for the immigration judge to decide. For the nexus argument, the same thing. The judge said the evidence, the record does not compel a conclusion that the harm was on account of protected ground. The compelling standard, that's for the federal court. Federal court only employs that standard. For the judge, just a reasonable possibility. So he employed a wrong standard. So when I raised this issue in the brief, the government's response was, well, he used the wrong terminology, but he actually did the correct thing. But on what basis that we know that he actually did the correct thing? The government agrees that he used wrong terminology on both occasions, nexus, as well as the returned asylum seekers argument. So he used wrong argument. And then, so even if as I initially stated, there are three factual predicate, even if one factual predicate may be on the internal relocation as a Tamil, his parents are there, well, that's a factor, but that is not a factor because he helped the refugees. And as a Tamil returned asylum seeker, that is his status is distinct from the rest of the family. If the court doesn't have any other questions, Your Honor, I'll rest, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the presentation, and we'll take the case under advisement.